Hello to anyone that's tuned in today. Today we have myself, L. We have Duke with us. We have David. I don't know, Duke. And we also have Richie. You know, we're the guys from the Boxing Banter and Fight Talk banter group, which is on WhatsApp. So we've decided to take this to like a live discussion. And we will talk about, you know, just boxing news, general stuff. And basically the discussions that we normally have in our groups, we'll be having online. And, you know, anyone who's listening can, you know, listen, basically. Okay, so let's start off with what happened this weekend. First off, we had Anthony Yard versus, I can never remember his name, Lyndon Arthur. Yeah. Okay, so, you know, Yard lost, he got his second loss. I mean, I just wanted to kind of get everyone's thoughts on it. We can start with Duke. Duke can go enough that we can, you know, follow on from the conversation. So, yeah, what do you reckon, Duke? What happened?
He wasn't busy enough. From the beginning, I think the fight was won and lost in the little things he didn't do, as far as like closing up the distance. I think he lost the fight when it came to his footwork and being able to close the distance. And once again, he lost to the jab. I think the jab befuddled him. He didn't know what to do. He was bamboozled by the basics. So I think he really needs to go back to the drawing board and think about his training methods and reconsider Tunde.
He was always, to see how the style was going to end.
The day I heard Tunde say, he said something along the lines of, when you see Yard punch, I'm punching in there with him. You know, and that's not the attitude you need to have. You know, I think he needs to make Yard understand that, listen, I'm not in there with you. You know, you need to learn this stuff. And I think the attitude's all wrong from the beginning in the camp, and it shows on fight night.
I mean, the thing is, when you have, you know, certain, you know, off-key methods, so to speak, that you use, if you're winning, then no one can call you out. You might feel that there's nothing that you need to change because whatever you're doing is working because you're winning. But I mean, Yard lost twice now. And this fight here, I understand why Yard is a bit, you know, a bit befuddled by the decision. I understand why he's a bit frustrated by it. But at the same time, I don't think he's done enough. And it's a fight where I don't think either man deserved to win. It should have probably been a draw because both of them deserve to lose for me. Yeah. Because, you know, Arthur, I mean, he was throwing at the jab, but I don't really feel like his jab was that effective. I just felt like what he was doing was trying to stay out of trouble as opposed to trying to hurt Yard and put Yard in trouble. And Yard was trying to get Arthur in trouble, you know, but it's like he couldn't. It's like he just couldn't capitalize. He always just kind of seemed like a bit of a step behind. He was following them around the ring. It was just a really horrible fight to watch. It was like, you know what I mean? And to be honest, I understand what Yard's saying when he says, how could you win a fight with a jab when I'm throwing power shots? Well, Joe Joyce done that the week before. Joe Joyce won a fight with a jab. But his jab was effective. His jab was causing damage. Do you know what I mean? And even when Dubois was winning the fight, we knew that Dubois was in trouble going down later on in the stretch because that jab just kept on tattooing his face. Whereas I don't really feel that was happening with the Arthur fight. Do you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you guys, I don't know, you guys follow up and tell me what you think.
I think Yard's growth's been stunted with the, you know, the team that he's working with. Them not being good enough has stunted his growth. It happened to Joshua. There was a period where Joshua was improving after every fight. It was looking like a complete package, and then he got a bit too much mainstream success and he got distracted. But the difference with Joshua is he's got a good camp around him, irrespective of that. Yard seems to have got a lot of coverage. He's been kind of a main event fighter for a while, and he doesn't seem to be improving anymore beyond a certain level. I think he's not improving. He's got the wrong setup. We spoke about how poor his setup is. He doesn't have the right environment to be successful. So there's a lot of work to do with Yard, and he needs to choose whether he's going to be loyal to the camp that he's got now or whether he's going to have a successful career, because I don't think he can do both of them.
I think I'll add to that as well, and I'll say the difference between the two of them really is as much as Joshua had success or recognition in the mainstream sense, he's got enough humility to know where he goes wrong. I think that's where Yard's got problems, because he ain't got anyone around him who's not going to blow smoke up his ass. Whereas Joshua himself has got enough humility to say, you know what, something needs to change. Because if you think about the release fight, you know, prior to that fight, he wasn't a respecter of jabbing and grabbing or jabbing and moving to win. But he realised that he had to do it because Ruiz could take what he was giving him.
But Joshua did keep the same camp, though. He still had the same team.
He added to it, though, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Exactly. He added to it.
Okay.
I think another thing that I thought about after we spoke earlier, in that eighth round, in that fight against Kovalev, when he was told to empty the tank, it was the wrong advice. It was the wrong advice completely.
You think?
But to kind of
understand what I'm saying.
Yeah. notice, Kovalev didn't hit me with a jab once that round because he was surviving. So all right, it wasn't the best of lessons, so to speak. But the moment he opened up, he took Kovalev's best weapon away from him. Now, if he carried the wisdom of that into the next fight, it would have given him another dimension to work from. But he didn't employ it, and I think that comes down to the fact that he was scared he was going to gas out again.
Yeah, I think that must have been playing on his mind. That must have definitely been playing on his mind. We can talk about Yard another time. Hopefully, you know, I mean, I'm from East London. He's from East London as well. So I'll always support a fighter. I don't think just because a fighter takes a couple of losses, everyone has to write them off. But you like who was it? I believe it was Rich or Dave who said, hopefully he has the humility to know that there needs to be certain changes. And, you know, hopefully he can apply those changes and improve. Because I want to see Yard win. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, a couple of losses doesn't mean that you're not going to have a successful career. Yeah, do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, but he's running out of time. He's getting a little bit older now. You know what I'm trying to say? So he needs to kind of step it up. You know what I mean? But let's move on. The next big fight that was obviously there was Errol "The Truth" Spence. You know, we've all been waiting for Errol "The Truth" Spence to come back. You know, for, I mean, how long ago was it? How long ago did he have that car crash?
Like 15 or 18 months ago, I think.
Yeah, I think it was 18 months.
Okay, that's actually flown by really quickly, but it's been a while since Spence has been gone. Now, there was obviously a lot of speculation about how Errol will look when he gets back. You know, would he actually have, you know, decent punch resistance? There were all these kind of questions that we was asking. You know, is he going to miss a step? So, you know, we can start with David. You can tell us. I mean, what did you make of Errol Spence's performance, and you know what mark would you give him?
Right, removing the whole sentiment, I got to start off with that as the caveat. Really, I think it was pretty much nearly a punch perfect display, because he was in the ring with somebody that could potentially upset his rhythm. And really, in the end, I think Garcia was no threat at all. In all honesty, I think his dad might have done a bit better, if you want me to be honest with you. I think if I was to give a mark, I'd give him an 8 on the basis that he
okay.
You really didn't know that Garcia had any real weapon.
That hook was always there, but it just always seemed like.
Well, and this is what I'm saying. Behind. You didn't know he had the weapon because prior to the fight, we were all aware of Garcia's hook. Do you know what I mean? And he everything that he attempted got nullified. And it wasn't until the last 10 seconds of the 12th round that he actually showed that he had something to give. You know?
Yeah.
And on top of that as well. Yeah,
when he let off a couple
and on top of that, I think, I can't remember if it was the end of the second or the third round, when he hit Spence after the bell, and he wiped the punch off, and, you know, the guy didn't even blink. And I think right there, that could have had, well, it definitely demoralised his dad, because you heard him pretty much pleading with him in the corner after that. I'd say Spence, he returned... He looked like a man on a mission, to be honest with you. And if he cuts out the stuff that he was doing before, as in blowing up in weight, drinking a lot with his boys, the Charlos, I personally think he cuts that stuff out. Lines only rather than lines in the camp, that's for sure.
yeah, but lines only right now, not lines in the camp.
There are no lines in the camp. There's only lies in the camp, bro. Lies in the camp. And I agree with that, Rich. I agree with that, but something fundamental has to change.
Yeah.
Really and truthfully, you know what I mean? But as we said, we can come back on that. But I do think he needs to make some vital changes before we can actually talk about him in the way we were talking about him before he fought Kovalev.
Well, let's
stick with Spence. That was punch perfect. So
I think it was a really underrated performance. I think that for Spence to come back and fight one of the top welterweights and to have no trouble is not easy to do.
Yeah.
I actually picked against him. I thought that he might lose because of his injuries. And I've been a Spence fan. Mm. I thought he was a good fighter for a while. But I didn't think he was that far ahead the rest of the welterweights, excluding Crawford. But that type of performance kind of shows just how high he was, because both the Porter and the Thurman fights were really split decision losses to me that could have gone either way. We can criticise Garcia, but he has never fought and been dominated like that before. He's always been in the fight. But in this fight, although he didn't look like he was ever going to be stopped, he was dominated from beginning to end, really, wasn't he? So
I totally agree with the rest of the gang. I think it was an excellent performance coming off 18 months inactivity plus a car crash. It was a complete shutout. Garcia, you know, edged a few rounds, but it was a complete shutout. I think his activity was incredible, and for him to, you know, when he was asked about the fight, he said he felt he was ring rusty, and a few rounds off. Imagine his next fight. That's all I think to myself. It's scary. It's scary to watch. I think I just can't wait to see him in there with Crawford.
Okay. You know, to be honest, I'm gonna sound like a hater now. You guys just keep spending like such like great accolades and that, yeah. But to be honest, right, like his performance, it was a solid performance with who he had in front of him. I honestly believe that Danny Garcia, the way how Danny Garcia fights, like his output, he's tailor-made for Spence. Like Spence, and Danny Garcia, he's not that fast as well. I honestly feel like Keith Thurman will be a more interesting fight. But don't get me wrong, I would still edge it to Spence because I just don't trust Keith when it comes to body shots. And Spence, he's ferocious with the body shots. But in terms of just, punch speed and, the kind of angles that Thurman will come, how Thurman will fight him, it will be a very different fight to how Garcia fought. Garcia, a lot of the times when I see him fight, I get frustrated by his output. I'm like, Danny, throw. But you know that's his style. Like, and when he does throw, he doesn't seem that quick. Danny Garcia, I would say, like, he's been a bit of an overachiever, like, in his career, because the fights that he won, like, like these big fights, he was actually supposed to lose. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's where it kind of became kind of hard to kind of go against Danny, because the fights where he was supposed to lose, he actually managed to pull it out the bag. Like, with like Matisse and Amir Khan. Do you know what I mean? Like with Khan, I mean, he timed Khan, didn't he? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Khan just, yeah. No, definitely was. But I just think, like, with Spence was just too smart. He was always one step ahead of Danny Garcia, and Danny Garcia just couldn't seem to, he couldn't maintain the pace. Yeah, he couldn't maintain the pace. Whereas Spence, when Spence slowed down, it's because he wanted to. And when Danny got a little bit too bright, he stepped it up again on him, just to show him, listen, like, I can step it up on you anytime. And mentally, it clearly messed with Danny a little bit, you know what I mean? But there was the elephant in the room, which was Crawford fought a couple of weeks beforehand. There's been a lot of talk about Crawford versus Spence. And, we're going to make the comparisons. We're going to look at Crawford's performance the week, a couple of weeks prior, and we're going to look at Spence's performance, and we're going to say whose performance was better. Now, for me personally, I think if I had to pick, I would say that I think Crawford's performance was more impressive, because what we saw happen to Kell Brook that day, we'd never ever seen happen to him before. Yeah, he got stopped by Spence, but not like that. Yeah. And the Kell Brook that went in against Spence, he had the weight issue coming down from 160. He just got back from that horrific injury from the Triple G fight. He was just coming off of a loss. This Kell Brook here that fought Crawford, he seemed a lot more focused and he seemed a lot more kind of prepared. And he's gone in there against Crawford and he looked sharp. It wasn't like Kell Brook looked off. He looked very sharp, and Crawford was just better than him, basically, and he, you know what I mean, he it's good night, he ended his night. Whereas Spence versus Garcia, that's how for me, that's how Danny looks in every fight. Like, he still looked like Danny Garcia to me. I don't feel like Spence, like, you know, he made Danny look any different than what he always looks like. So for me, I found Crawford a little bit more impressive, but I'm sure some of you guys are going to disagree with me.
Before the fight, I thought that Crawford looked a bit weight drained. Not Crawford, sorry, that Brooks.
Crawford or Brooks. Okay, yeah.
I don't want to discredit Crawford's win because he did look sharp. He looked sharp in the fight, and Brook looked sharp. He was those first three rounds, he was jabbing well. He was, until Crawford switched to southpaw, he was in the fight. But I think despite that, Garcia is competing at a high level. You just said something a minute ago. You said that Garcia is what he's always been, and that's what I mean. I don't think Brook is what he's always been. I think he's less than what he has been previously.
Most definitely.
Whereas Garcia is still there. He's still putting in performances. This is the only time he's lost, clearly. Whereas Brook has been stopped by his corner, but you could see he kind of given up in that Golovkin fight.
They saved him, of course.
Spence, and really he quit against Crawford as well, because that punch was never enough to do the damage that it did. It was like a jab, wasn't it?
But he walked into it. I don't think he quit against Crawford. I think he was genuinely hurt.
I think if anything, he was genuinely hurt. I think Tony Weeks stopped the fight quicker than he would have definitely wanted, for sure. And I get what you're saying about, you know, Brook wasn't the same Brook that we've always known, and Garcia was the same Garcia. I think we have to look at the fact that he was finished in a way that no one has ever finished him. I don't disagree with Richard in that he was weight drained, and he's not the same as he was, but I don't think anybody expected that. And I don't put that down to his inefficiency or lack of what he used to be. I put it down to the guy he was against.
Yeah, facts. Because, okay, if we're gonna argue and say Kell Brook looked weight drained against Crawford, can we say that he wasn't in the same position or a worse position when he went up against Spence, when he had to come down to weight classes?
I would say he was in a worse position then, because he never had all year to stay at one size. Slight triangle throw, but I think it works. If not for what happened to his eye and the warnings he got after the Golovkin fight, he might have stayed in it against Spence. But I think psychologically he was damaged, because obviously he was told that he could have gone blind. And, you know, the same thing that happened with Dubois last weekend. No matter what anyone's got to say, boxing's really not worth that. Not for the people's entertainment. It's not worth that. So, you know, I think that's always been the caveat with the defeat Spence for me. Do you know what I mean? I mean, yes, Spence was taking over the fight, but he had to come through. He had to come through a fair bit first.
No, 100%, 100%. I agree. I mean, okay. So moving on. I mean, Duke, before we actually move on, is there anything that you want to add to the Spence Crawford Spence Garcia discussion?
Yeah, I'm going to take it there. I believe Brook. I think Brook's finished right now. The Crawford. The Brook that Crawford beat was a finished fight, and I believe Spence would have done the same thing to him at this stage.
You can't
compare the two. Spence fought him several fights back, straight off the Golovkin fight, yes, but he also he broke the other orbital. You know, so yeah.
Okay, so I mean, we can keep going. I mean, okay, so with the Spence and Crawford discussion, obviously we have to look. I mean, ideally we want these two guys to fight each other, but I mean, it's clear to me, at least anyway, that fight is not happening next. Now, they both seem to be chasing Manny Pacquiao, where this has now become like a, you know, like a Game of Thrones, yeah, because Crawford, he has the WBO belt, a belt that the PBC, you know, currently don't recognize. Spence, he has the WBC and IBF. Yeah, and IBF. And Manny Pacquiao has the WBA. They've both spoken about Manny Pacquiao at the end of their fights. You know, Spence was talking about Pacquiao. Crawford was talking about Pacquiao. So it seems to me that whoever fights Manny Pacquiao, if they win, then it kind of changes the dynamics of the negotiation discussion, so to speak. Because, you know, then let's say Crawford got the Manny Pacquiao fight. Crawford, and he won. He would have two belts going into the fight with Spence. He would have also, the Manny Pacquiao fight would be on pay-per-view. You know, Crawford versus Manny Pacquiao, assuming that it's, you know, got some type of success. I mean, Spence's last pay-per-view, what did he do, like 500K? When he was Mikey Garcia, that was like 500K or something, right? So, I mean, Crawford and Manny Pacquiao, they have to do 500K to kind of compete with that. Yeah, do you know what I mean? So let's say he done that, he won the belt, going into a negotiation with Spence, that whole A side, B side conversation, it changes. Yeah. Whereas if Spence is the one who's successful with getting the Manny Pacquiao fight and he beats Manny Pacquiao, then really and truly, Crawford hasn't really got a leg to stand on in terms of this A side, B side conversation, because Crawford ain't, you know, he ain't done as many pay-per-views as Spence, yeah? He hasn't got as many titles as Spence. He hasn't fought as many, you know, no names as Spence, yeah? Do you know what I mean? Like, right now, Spence has got that A-side argument, and, you know, he's sticking with it right now, but whoever fights Manny Pacquiao, it changes. Now, who do you guys think Manny Pacquiao would actually want to fight? Yeah. Would Manny Pacquiao even risk fighting any of these guys? Because they're both young and they're both fresh. So, I mean, you know, one of you guys can follow my lead on that.
I'm not sure if he's going to risk it. If anyone, it will probably be Crawford, because even though Spence is the biggest star, I think Crawford's pound for pound number one on a lot of lists, and Pacquiao would love to be ranked highly in the pound for pound list again. So it's probably more legacy he's fighting for now than money at this stage, possibly. Even though I know Aram treats his fighters quite poorly. So it's, I think Crawford's probably got the bigger chance, even though he's not as big a star. And I think either of them beat him at this stage. He needs to look at retiring. I think he's in, what is he, 42 now?
Yeah, he's an old man. he needs to be fighting the Logan Pauls and these guys. You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, you know, to be fair, what happened with Pacquiao against Thurman, like, that was a good kind of place to kind of end his career at, to be honest. I mean, I don't know what kind of contract he has with PBC, if he owes him a certain amount of fights or whatever, but, you know, to actually do that at his age, to beat a guy like Thurman. I mean, Thurman had his issues going into that fight, but nonetheless, it's impressive on paper, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? But that will be interesting to see, you know, what happens next in terms of, you know, Pacquiao, Crawford, and Spence.
Porter in the mix. I'd like to see Porter versus Crawford. I think Crawford needs to also do his rounds. Obviously, it's hard with the issues with Top Rank and PBC. But I believe Crawford needs to do his rounds on the PBC side. And that would give him a bit more to stand on as far as the A side. If he, that too.
Yeah, providing he's successful, it puts him in a better position.
On the field, Duke, I mean, he's literally tried to have it with every one of PBC's fighters. And none of them have been very forthcoming.
Porter's he's up for it. Porter's definitely up for it. It's really down to the big man, Al. So yeah, but I think.
But you know what though, I feel like that whole discussion might have changed with Bob Arum's latest comments on Crawford. I mean, there's a bigger chance now that Crawford might say, you know what, release me.
Yeah, we need to.
I mean, he actually did say it on the. Yeah, he actually did say it on a talk show with
Akinbarat.
You know, on the zone with Akinbarat. Yeah, he said if you got a problem and you're losing money, release me. We need to kind of see how that kind of plays out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he might actually be guys.
It's like Bob can't promote black fighters anymore. I know in the 70s and 80s he had them all, but between him and King, but I think that he's marketed Crawford terribly. You know, he's let him down at every stage. Like you mentioned earlier on, he's trying to put his job onto Crawford as if Crawford's the one who's responsible for promoting himself. Part of the blame still lays with Crawford because he renewed his contract. He has to accept responsibility.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't try to move across to Heyman, then he's as much to blame as Spence, who doesn't seem to want the fight very much.
Yeah, and I think as well, with that said, the politics of boxing will get in the way of him ever really fighting Pacquiao before Spence as well. Because Spence is in the same promotional bracket as Pacquiao, they were obviously pushed to do that because him and Crawford have already been together and they didn't get to fight, and he wanted it then, you know what I mean? And you know, the fact that Spence can publicly come out and say he's on the other side of the street, which basically means we can ignore you for now. You know, he's confronted Spence and told Spence, well, look, Bob's here, talk to Bob, do you know what I mean? And still we haven't not even a murmur of them two fighting. Other than the journals and us as fans, you know, there's nothing official has ever really been spoken of. No.
Yeah, they haven't sat at the table, basically, and had a discussion, you know what I mean?
Spence can afford to wait.
Yeah.
He has age on his side, and, you know, so he can afford to wait.
Yeah.
He can. And he's got the opponents lined up to fight him as well, whereas Crawford, he's running out of opponents to fight. Credible opponents anyway, you know what I mean? And Crawford is slightly older as well, so no, Spence is going to... I mean, like, you know, Crawford's dangerous now. I mean, we want to see it as fans, see them both fight in their prime, but I mean, you know, these guys and that, you know, boxing's a short career. These guys are going to try and make smart moves as opposed to making dangerous moves just for the sake of the fans, you know what I mean? But no, we'll see.
That's why they're both doing that Pacquiao as well, because they know, you know, if they beat him, it's one thing, but it's probably going to be their biggest payday. Do you know what I mean? And I think that...
Yeah, of course.
But I think as well, the sweetener is the fact that they're probably going to get paid better than anyone else will pay them.
Is that, but then once they do meet, their fight will be a unification fight. So it will be undisputed. So it's a bigger fight there again as well. So
yeah,
I do actually understand what's going on. I understand why they're trying to go for Pacquiao, but Pacquiao needs to make up his mind with what he's doing. You know what I mean? All right, cool. So let's just move on quickly. Yeah, we're going to end this up. We're going to wrap this up now. But, you know, I feel like I'll be doing Dave, and I feel like I'll be doing Richie an injustice if I didn't say to do Wagwan for Wilder. Because anyone that's listening, our guy Duke here, he's like the biggest Wilder supporter. He's been riding with Wilder, till the wheels fall off. And it's like the wheels falling off now. We ain't had a chance to talk to him since then. So we just want to find out what's going on. You know, dude, I mean, tell us what Wilder said about...
It's hard to defend him. That's my guy, I'm not going to lie. But he's put me in a funny position. It's hard to defend him. You understand? You know, like Steph London, he's put me in that position. You know, where it's hard to defend him.
Right, yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? But he's still my guy. He's still my guy. You know, like, Wilder's my guy, but, like, you know, when he comes on the interview and he's saying things like, I believe he had something in his glove because my head swelled up to the Ed Waite form. To the Ed Waite form. It's hard to defend him, you know? Do you know what? Yeah, Glovegate. I was on Glovegate. I believe that had wheels. But when you start to add your water spiked and you start to add something to the gloves, and that's why it swelled up to the egg weight form. And you know, and on top of that, I believe his approach, you know, he's not the most articulate guy, so, you know, I don't think he's the best person to put forward his own argument. I know it's sad to say, but you know, he's in an improper position. You know, it's hard to, you know, he makes it hard, but at the same time, he's my guy, like I said. Wilder, innit? Wilder. I would love to see the third fight between Wilder and Fury. I think as long as everything's above board, as long as Wilder's in the right place, he has the puncher's chance. And we know Wilder's puncher's chance is not the typical puncher's chance. You understand? It's Wilder's puncher's chance, which I think is unique, is special. And that's why I still say, you know what? Wilder, he's still my guy. But like I said, he's hard to defend. I can't defend a lot of the things that's happening now. That's what I've got to say on that.
Cool. We're gonna wrap it up there. So I mean this is our first go at it. So you know, whoever listens to this, they can tell us what they think if they enjoyed the discussions that took place. And to the next time. So, yeah, it's myself, L. I'm going to sign off. Dave, Rich and Duke, thanks for turning up. You know, hopefully next time we can get some of the other guys from the group to come in here and give this a go as well. So, big yourselves up and see you back in the Boxing Banter group.